Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast where I, your host, Scott McNulty, discuss a random episode of Star Trek with a non-random guest. My non-random guest for this episode is Brett Terpstra. Brett, thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.
So tell us, or tell the listeners, I already know. I know a lot about you already, Brett, and that sounds kind of creepy, but we've known each other in internet years, like forever. But tell the people who are listening a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, I am an independent developer and writer and podcaster. I have Systematic and Overtired with Christina Warren. I have a website at brettterpstra.com where you can find out exactly how nerdy I am. And, yeah, and I'm TT Scoff on Twitter. If you've ever seen really bad puns pop up in your stream, that would be me.
That's you. And you are pretty nerdy, I have to say. But you do all kinds of... do they still call them life hacks? Is that a thing anymore?
They're not life hacks.
Oh, I see. Like
even when people use that. Life hacks are more like how to yourself get up earlier.
Or you use your ice cube trays to make tea or something.
And my hacks are more like how to get your computer to literally throw you out of bed in the morning.
That's true. I did not mean to belittle your work by calling it the wrong thing.
I think there's a place for life hacks. I'm not good at them.
Yeah, but you do a lot of you make your computer do a lot of crazy stuff. I feel like you wake up in the morning and you press like one button on your Mac and it does like 14 million things and then you're done for the day because your Mac has just done everything you need to do.
I pressed a button on my iPhone,
oh,
which controls my Mac.
There you go. See, you're honing it even more than I can imagine. It's amazing. I'm lucky if I wake up in the morning, so there you go. But we're not here to talk about my sleep habits. Although we could. I mean, it's not very interesting. We're here to talk about Star Trek. So, Brett, tell me a little bit about your interest in Star Trek. Would you consider yourself, I suppose here's the real question, would you consider yourself a Star Trek fan?
I do and would. When I was a kid, my dad would take me to the movies, which I think my first one was probably the second Star Trek movie.
Many would argue the best Star Trek movie.
Yeah. Yeah, and I fell in love, and when The Next Generation started, it was like a family show for us, and we would watch it every week, and that was the only night we were allowed to drink soda. And
how does that relate to Star Trek?
Positive reinforcement. But yeah, I think Star Trek was actually the genesis of my love for science fiction in general. I pursued, especially sci-fi literature, as I got older. And I'll admit, and maybe I'm jumping ahead here, but I stopped watching Star Trek about mid, Deep Space Nine.
At what point in Deep Space Nine did you stop? Because I have said this many times on the podcast, but Deep Space Nine, in fact, I think is the best Star Trek series ever.
Well, and I didn't give it enough of a chance. I think I watched three episodes, and it was less about Deep Space Nine and more about the fact that my life was not television accessible at the time. And it didn't hook me enough to go out of my way to find a way to watch it.
Well, that's fair. And I think the first three episodes, as I recall, are not super great, so I can understand. Deep Space Nine, as with many series, took a little while to get its stride going. So
yeah,
I know you have a lot of time because your Mac does all your work for you. So while your Mac is busy working away, you should probably, well, if you want to, give Deep Space Nine another chance.
On your recommendation, I will do that.
But don't blame me if you don't like it. Blame your own poor judgment. So what is your? Would you say then that The Next Generation is your favorite Star Trek series?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, lucky for you, by random chance, we are in fact watching. Well, we've already watched. We're discussing. I can't speak. I'm so excited about this episode. A Next Generation episode. One of, in fact, an episode that I have thought about, but I forgot how good it was until I watched it for this podcast. Season 2, episode 9 of The Next Generation, The Measure of a Man. This one is the one in which Data is a real boy or not. He has to determine, he doesn't have to determine, but he has to fight for his right to be not a piece of equipment, basically. And I usually reserve judgment until the end of the episode and we talk about if we've liked it or not. But this episode is so good that I cannot contain myself. And in fact, I know, believe it or not, Brett, some people listen to this podcast. That is not unbelievable. But some people listen to this podcast and don't watch the episodes that we're talking about. And
it's a substitute for them?
I guess. I don't know. So I would suggest, if you have not seen The Measure of a Man, that you should stop listening to this podcast right now and watch the episode, because this is one of the best, in my opinion, one of the best Next Generation episodes. We'll be here when you're done. So just go watch the episode and come back. You won't regret it. Hopefully, Brett, did you enjoy this episode?
Oh, very much. Data, the episode centers around Data, and Data is my favorite character.
Ah, interesting. Why is Data your favorite character?
He's really the only character that develops personality-wise throughout the Next Generation series. Like, he explores and learns and becomes... he discovers humanity throughout the series. Like, everyone else is kind of static as far as character development goes.
It is true. And I was on your podcast, Systematic, when this is airing a few weeks ago. And we talked about, or maybe before we were recording, we talked about how not many characters on The Next Generation really had a character arc that was very substantive, with the exception of Data, because he learned, you know, he begins... If you watch a first season episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation, and watch a season 7 episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation, Data has gone through a lot, and he has kind of figured out his place in the world, or continued to grapple with it, and had a better understanding of himself. You look at Riker, and he's pretty... He may have a beard, he may not have a beard, but that's about it. I mean, I like Riker, but he doesn't have a lot of personal growth throughout the 7 seasons of The Next Generation, is all I'm saying. Don't send
Plus,
me emails.
Brent Spiner was good in everything he ever did, in my opinion. Like, he was an amazing character actor.
That is true. I have a hard time remembering anything. He was in that, what was he in? He was in that...
Generation Rex, Warehouse 13, Fresh Hell, The Avengers, Earth Mightiest Heroes, the TV series. He did The Simpsons, Big Bang Theory.
Well, you are a Brett Spiner fan.
Well, I have IMDb up in front of me. Okay. So
I was impressed. He was in that Wilson. Wasn't he in Independence Day? He played like the scientist or something. He was in one of those movies. He is a fantastic actor. And he has, in many respects, he has the hardest job on the series, because he has to be this android who can't use contractions, although sometimes they do, and is doesn't have emotions, but then sometimes he does have emotions, and it's a difficult... I would think, as an actor, you would think it's a good challenge, but then as a viewer, it's difficult to feel a connection to Data, because he feels kind of alien. And yet, I think, as you were saying, through the magic of Brett Spiner's acting ability, he is a very likable character, and this episode in particular becomes very emotional, because you're like, Data is my friend, and why are you being so mean to him? You jerks.
Right. Well, I don't know. Should we wait, and I'll throw in commentary as we get there?
Yes, I was just about to jump in, right, because we've talked a lot already, and let's get into the meat of the episode. There's a lot to get through, and this episode has many firsts. This opens with the first time we see any officers on Star Trek playing poker, and this becomes a recurring kind of theme in subsequent episodes of Next Generation. They have their, I don't know what the period is, but they often gather for a little friendly game of poker. And this scene is basically to show, they call back to it later in the episode, because Data has studied poker, and this is the first time he's going to play poker with real people. He knows all the rules, he knows the theory. But then applying the theory in practice, Data doesn't really understand how bluff works. So Data has, a three queens. So he thinks, oh, I'm going to win. And Riker bluffs, and Data doesn't know that. And then, so Data folds, and he says, oh, well, what did you have, Riker? And Riker shows him, well, I didn't have anything. And Data says, well, why would you bet when you have no chance of winning? To which Riker responds, I did win. And I thought that was a nice little scene, and Data was very confused. And I think this might be the only scene with O'Brien in it, so hooray for Chief O'Brien. He shows up and has to sit in a particular chair, or else he thinks he'll lose. So. And that's the opening. And then we are on a space station, or starbase, I suppose, near the neutral zone that they've built very close to the neutral zone, which they mention kind of in passing. And you think, oh, maybe this will be an important plot point, but it's really just a throwaway thing. It doesn't matter. Captain Picard is sitting, I guess, in some kind of officer's lounge, drinking tea, one assumes, and he notices someone enter, a lovely lady, and you think, oh, perhaps this is a love interest for our single Captain Picard. And we find out, perhaps not, when Captain Picard is not so thrilled to see her. They have this heated exchange where we find out that this is Captain Philippa, I can't say her last name, but she is basically a space lawyer, and she prosecuted Captain Picard in the trial after they lost the Stargazer, which was Captain Picard's previous ship.
I love the interaction when they first see each other, and what is he? There's, it's the only reference I can recall where Picard makes allows a violent reference towards a woman. he says, like, do you know what I would like to do? And she says, smash a chair over me.
Yep.
Across my teeth, says, I think she later.
Says. He says, after that.
Yeah,
they have an antagonistic little relationship there, because he, we find out that she left Starfleet because of the case, the Stargazer case, that Captain Picard was acquitted without any fault. And he says, well, that was your choice. And she said, well, I was drummed out. And one assumes because Captain Picard was so popular, and anyone who is prosecuting a case against Captain Picard, not so popular, especially if you lose the case. And he says, you know, people didn't like you because you were trying to follow the rules, but because you seemed to get great enjoyment out of the fact that you were doing it. And she was like, well, whatever. I can see you're still as pompous as ever. which was also a nice moment. Then we meet Admiral Nakamura, I guess.
Yeah.
And he is accompanied by the villain of this episode, basically, Commander Bruce Maddox. And you can tell he's a villain because whenever he appears, there's kind of creepy, suspenseful music that plays, which I thought perhaps was telegraphing a little bit much about Commander Maddox. But he doesn't come off as very nice in this episode. So, and he apparently is a cyberneticist on this starbase for the Daystrom Institute. And he's just tagging along with the Admiral. And Captain Picard's like, well, what's this dude doing with you, Admiral? And the Admiral's like, I'll tell you later. I want to get on your starship. So
I want to argue with you on a point.
Oh, okay.
He is... It's not that he's not nice. It's that he is basically... he's a bigot.
He is a bigot.
Like, he does not view Data as any... Like, even remotely sentient or human.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not outright mean. It's simply the fact that he wants to treat Data like a piece of property, which he believes is the truth.
Right.
So it's not in, like, he's not necessarily evil. He's just misguided.
That's true. But I feel like Data is one of my internet, one of my TV friends, and this guy's being mean to my TV friend, and so
Fair enough. Is
not nice. But yes, it's true, and I wanted to come back to that. I want to come back to that point later because I think that they really do a good job of setting that up, and there are lots of points in this episode where the interplay between Maddox and Data reinforces his kind of bigoted view, and he treats Data as you would expect someone to treat their toaster, as they mention later in the episode. So, which makes me angry because Data's not a toaster, damn it.
He's way too good at toast to be a toaster.
That's right. He would at least be a waffle maker, I think.
I would agree. Yeah.
But he is a sentient being in my book. And so we find out, so Data and Maddox know each other. Maddox is like, what's up, Data? And Captain Picard is surprised to see that Data and Maddox know each other. Data says, yes, Maddox was on the council or the group that decided whether or not I could be in Starfleet. And in fact, he was the only person who said, I couldn't be in Starfleet because I'm not a sentient being. And then this is where I think I remember that the music really started playing and you're like, oh, we're
but
not supposed to like this.
He gets this look on his face at that point where you could almost interpret as remorse.
Almost, but the rest of the episode belies that.
Well, he never denies that he is absolutely fascinated and thinks that Data is a pinnacle of innovation.
That is true.
Okay.
We are on the same page. He is very interested in Data. Yes. For very particular reasons. And this is when he first refers to Data, Maddox does. He never calls him, and this is throughout the episode. He always refers to Data as it. And the first time it happens, it is jarring. And I find it how interesting it was jarring. How it was interesting to me how jarring it was to me because, you know, Data is not an it. He is a person. And I was like, what the hell? Who is this guy coming on the bridge and calling Data an it? Oh, I don't like him. I already don't like him. But he's misguided. Brett is more open-minded and more understanding of these things. I just think he's a jerk. And I don't like him at all. And he explains, oh, I'm here because I want to take Data apart. So it continues to be not good in my book. And so Captain Picard's like, well, why do you want to take Data apart? And long story short, he wants to understand Data's positronic brain and create more Data's, because if you have one Data, then more Data's must be even better. And he wants to take, he explains, I guess Picard and Data have a little meeting with Riker, and Maddox explains his process, and he's like, oh, don't worry, we're going to download all your memories, and I'll put it on a flash drive, it'll be fine. And Data says, oh, so you created a positronic brain. And Maddox is like, sure, of course I did. And Data says, how did you figure out this particularly difficult thing about positronic brains? And Maddox is like, well, I haven't really figured that part out yet. And then Data's like, well, how are you going to make sure all my information is okay? And Maddox is like, well, I'm pretty sure after looking at your brain, I'll figure it out. He is very unclear on the specifics of how he's going to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, which Riker points out. He says, hey, you don't really seem like you have this nailed down yet. And maybe
right. Well, and this is the point where you realize he really is an amateur at this.
Right.
Asking to do something that will more than likely destroy their shipmate.
Yes. Feel like he's kind of like a pre-med student who's like, hey, if I take apart your sister, I'm pretty sure I could put her back together again. Exactly. And I will learn a lot about it as I'm doing it. So don't worry. Trust me. And everybody is like, I don't know. And Data is particularly like, well, while I find many of the aspects of your research to be interesting, I don't think you're quite at the point yet when I would like you to take me apart. So I will have to respectfully decline the opportunity. And so this is when Maddox is like, well, I thought you might say something like this. And he proves that he's very good at bureaucracy because he says, oh, I've had you transferred to my command, so you have to do what I tell you. Which seems odd, because I don't know if Captain Picard could order someone to be, you know, vivisected under his command. But apparently, you can.
Well, and that becomes the point of the...
Everybody's like, I don't know if you can do that.
But how can someone who doesn't outrank a captain demand a transfer? I don't know.
Well, I think
I think he had friends in high places.
I think he did. He must have used the, because he probably did, and this is one of my favorite aspects of Star Trek, is filling in the blanks, is he probably told the Admiral or somebody that, listen, if we could make a bunch of Data's, wouldn't that be great? Because he's a super competent officer. He's really smart. We could put him on every starship. And this is a thing that he uses later in the episode to defend his research. And so that person...
And they never say the word army.
They don't. They should. Someone needs an army.
He says, we could make thousands of them. And we'll get to that point later. But they never say an army.
A marauding army of Data's. And so he probably pitched that to somebody. And they're like, oh, that's a great idea. We'll just transfer him to your command. Without telling Captain Picard. And that's what happens, I assume. And then we get this interesting scene in which Picard and Data are talking to each other. And Picard says, well, Data, I understand your concerns about this, but I really have to think about Starfleet's benefits. And if we could make a bunch of you, that would be super great. Which struck me as kind of odd, because you would think Captain Picard wouldn't... I guess he thinks that Data will be fine, and if you get more Datas, that's good. But then this is when Data says, well, let me counter with some a different argument, Captain Picard. Would you agree with me that Geordi's eyes are superior to your eyes? And Captain Picard says, well, of course. And then Data says, well, how come all Starfleet officers aren't required to have their eyes replaced with cybernetic eyes? And Captain Picard has an introspective look, and Data says, ah, I see, because you're human and I'm not. And then Captain Picard basically says, you're dismissed, Data. Get out. You're making me uncomfortable. which I thought was a good scene. And then off they go. Picard finally decides, okay, I am going to stop this transfer because this is wrong. Data has convinced me, and he can't figure out a way to stop it, so he goes to his friend, the captain, female captain he met earlier, whose name I can't pronounce, so I won't, who happens to be basically the space lawyer in charge of this sector of space. And he says, you need to help me figure out how to stop this transfer. And she says, well, we can't stop it. But he could resign his Starfleet commission, and that would stop it. Picard is sad, but he's like, okay, that's one option. And so that's basically what Data does. He resigns his commission. But I'm missing an important scene. That's not too important to the plot, but it's one of these things that illustrates Maddox's treatment of Data. So we get the scene where Data is in his quarters, and he's packing away his little mementos in a weird piece of future luggage, which doesn't seem like it's a great piece of luggage anyway. It's like a hard plastic cylinder that he's putting all this stuff in. And he's putting his medals in there, and a book that Captain Picard gave him, and a little holographic projection of Tasha Yar. And he goes off to another room, and Maddox just comes in and picks up Data's book. And Data comes back, and he's like, isn't it customary for someone to, you know, ask permission to come into someone's quarters? Which Maddox ignores, because, as Brett said, Maddox just looks at him as a part of the ship. Like, you wouldn't ask the warp core if it was okay for you to go into engineering. You would just go into engineering.
Exactly.
And that's the way Maddox thinks of Data, right? So, which is wrong, and we hate him. and that's when... there's another shocking development. Maddox says, well, I hope you're excited about me dismantling you. And Data says, well, I'm not so excited. In fact, I've resigned. And Maddox says, you can't resign. You're a piece of equipment. Starfleet owns you. And this is the real crux of the whole episode, is whether or not Starfleet owns Data and he's just a piece of equipment, or if he is a being who has... free will, although never say free will, and can make his own choices and cannot be ordered to do things he doesn't want to do that are harmful to his person, I suppose. I mean, being in the military, you're ordered to do things you don't want to do all the time, but this seems like a special thing. and so there's this little party in 10 Forward because everybody's sad that Data's resigned. And he gets a Klingon a novel from Worf. And Geordi is very sad, and they have a little exchange about how Geordi's sad because Data's going away, and Data says, I'll miss you, but, you know, we'll keep in touch. I'm sure they'll email or text each other.
It was another good example of Data's not fully comprehending, like, sadness.
Right.
Like, he observed that Geordi was sad. He didn't feel sad, and that was, I think, telling when we get to the part where... he's actually put to the test.
Mm-hmm.
Much like the poker game.
Yes, it's true. It's showing the quirks of Data and how he knows the theory, but he doesn't know the practice. And another very small is like when he gets the, Worf gives him this book that's wrapped up in space wrapping, which is basically aluminum foil, and Data carefully removes the wrapping, and Will... Crusher is there, and he says, you know, you're supposed to rip open the wrapping. And Data says, well, with a little careful ungluing, you can use it again.
And that's my mom.
Data is very frugal. I just want to waste the wrapping paper. But in a moment that proves that Data doesn't quite get it, Will says, well, you're not really getting it. And so after he has unwrapped it, he just rips up the paper, not doing either, not being able to enjoy the actual rip, the joy that is ripping the wrapping paper, oh, and not being able to reuse it again. So he wastes the whole thing. And so Captain Picard says, okay, we need to make sure that we can, get a ruling on this. So he goes to his friend, the JAG, who is the female captain, says, we need a ruling on this. And she says, well, I looked into this because I knew you were going to come here. And I think, Maddox is right. Based on existing laws, Data is Starfleet's equipment. And as such, he cannot refuse this order. And Captain Picard's like, well, there must be something that we can do. I know you can have a special hearing to do that. And she says, sure, we could, but I don't have any staff. And Captain Picard says, well, that you must have regulations for this kind of thing. And she says, I do. The ranking officer, which would be you, Jean-Luc, could serve as the defense, so be Data's counsel. And the second ranking officer, which would be Riker, has to be the prosecution. And then I will be the judge, and we'll have a little trial. Riker's like, I can't be the prosecution because I believe you're wrong and that Data is a person, and so I can't do it, and I won't do it. And she says, well, that's all well and good, but that just means I will just rule, and I'll rule the Data's equipment, and it'll be your fault, Riker. So if you're okay with that, that's okay. And so Riker is none too pleased, but he does what a true friend must do and takes up the mantle of trying to prove that Data is, in fact, just equipment. In the hopes that Picard will prove him wrong, because he knows that he is not just equipment, which I thought was an interesting situation for Riker to be in, because, he has to try his best, because the judge lady has said, I'll know if you throw it, so you have to try your best to do it. But on the other hand, he doesn't want Data to be dismantled, so he's in a conundrum. A conundrum. Yeah. And so off they go, there is a nice scene where Riker is looking up all the schematics on Data because he has to prepare for the trial, and he finds that Data has an emergency manual control that will turn him off, and Riker is smiling because he's happy because he found this piece of information that's going to help him do his job, right? And Starfleet officers are nothing if not super competent at their jobs, generally. But then he's smiling because he's happy he's found this, but then he realizes that this may make him win the case, which generally would be a good idea, but he doesn't want to win the case. So then the smile kind of drains away. And I thought that was a really good scene.
It was well played. Yeah.
Yeah. So kudos, Jonathan Frakes. You get points for that. So we go into the trial, and, Riker basically does a really good job of demonstrating that Data is just a machine. He calls Data as his first witness, and his only witness. He asks Data about how quickly he can think and how much information he can hold, and so obviously it's much bigger than a human can do. And then
88.82 petabytes, which is a word they didn't have when this was created, I think.
Yes, so he says 800 quadrillion bits. Yes. And he can.
And I wrote a script to translate that for me into petabytes.
See, and this is going back to the beginning about how you are, because I thought, I idly thought, I wonder how much that translates into, but I didn't do anything about it. So you get 2 stars for doing that. And he can access information, 60 trillion operations per second. So that's a lot of IOPS, as we say in the biz. And then he has Data bend a bar of steel, to which Captain Picard objects, because there are many creatures who have mega strength, as Captain Picard says. And I just am amused by the word mega strength. So the only reason I bring that up. Riker, continuing to build his case, detaches Data's forearm and hand, which apparently only requires that you twist slightly, and then his arm
someone
pops
who can
off.
Bend like the strongest steel in the world or in the universe can have his arm detached with a twist.
Yeah, so I thought that was a little odd, and perhaps a major flaw in Data's design, because I could see him getting into some fisticuffs and moving the wrong way, and both his arms fall off. It doesn't seem like a great idea. But, you know, I am not a cyberneticist, so what do I know? Maybe they're valid reasons. And then he follows that up with a very chilling section that I thought was quite effective. And he goes, and I can even turn him off. And then he presses this little button that's on the small of Data's back, and Data is deactivated.
Again, a design flaw if they were ever planning to put him into fisticuffs.
Yes, it does seem like if you just have to tap him on the back and he turns off, not so great. So with two twists and a tap, you have a deactivated armless android. And he is no longer a threat. But I suppose that was in case Data ever goes crazy and tries to kill people.
That would be a scary thing. We don't have time to do a Cylon comparison, but
that would be a big comparison. Although Data is nicer than most Cylons, so.
Oh yeah, but that's the thing: is were he not?
Oh, that's true. Well, that's we have his brother Lore, who is not so nice,
and we'll get in a second to the idea of a race of Datas.
Yes, and so after Riker turns off Data. Captain Picard senses that things might not be going his way and requests a recess, which is granted. And so he goes to 10 forward to talk to Guinan. And so Whoopi Goldberg is in this episode for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, but she plays a pivotal role because up until this point, Picard and the whole episode has been framing this basically as is Data equipment or not, right? When the real question, and one that I was thinking about the whole time, is Data sentient, and does Starfleet have the right to just basically do whatever they want with a sentient being or not, which is a bigger question. And, you know, it's a slightly different take on it. And so basically Guinan says, oh, this is the real crux of the position, because, you know, he wants to make a whole race of Datas, and people across the galaxy have always had races that have done the work they didn't want to do because it was too hard or too dangerous. And Captain Picard says, you're talking about slavery. And Guinan has a great response, which is, well, that's a bit harsh. And Captain Picard says, no, I don't think it is. I think that's exactly what you meant, which I think, of course, is what Guinan meant exactly. And this makes Picard redouble his efforts in proving that Data is a sentient being and that he shouldn't be enslaved by Starfleet.
Because suddenly it has implications well beyond his friend.
Exactly. They could have a whole army of Datas doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Probably not.
Well,
being
and it would
warriors.
Set a precedence to allow slavery.
That's true, because, you know, Maddox is working on replicating a positronic brain, so he could just create his own android. And then, based on this precedent, they could just make the android slaves and do whatever they wanted.
Or any race of beings they determined were not sentient by their standards. Yeah.
Exactly. And I thought it was interesting throughout this whole episode they kept talking about humans, in which the Federation of Planets is made up of many different races. So you would think that they would already have a number of regulations and things that a race has to meet in order to be considered sentient, because this can't be the first time that they've come across something that, you know, there's an argument of whether or not it is sentient or not. They must have classifications.
I absolutely agree with that.
But apparently it's not a problem until this very moment. And so they have to think quickly. And so after talking to Guinan, Picard's like, okay, I think I've got this. And he goes, court is back in session. And he calls Maddox, I think, he calls Maddox to
as a hostile witness.
Yes, and he's like, you know, prove that I'm sentient. Picard says to Maddox, and Maddox laughs it off and says, well, we all know you're sentient. And Picard says, well, you have to tell me how you know that. And he lists three characteristics: intelligence, consciousness, and self-awareness. And so Picard goes to prove that Data is, of course, intelligent. We know that. He asks Data, well, where are you right now? And he says, well, I'm in the courtroom, you know, fighting for my freedom, basically. And so that's 2 out of 3. And Captain Picard says, well, for me, consciousness is very difficult to prove. So that's 2 out of 3. Are you comfortable? I don't know if Data is conscious or not. I don't know if I'm conscious or not, but that is, are you comfortable enough to make a decision on that? And then he turns to the camera and says, are you? And, it's very dramatic. And I think I skipped over a whole part where Data talks about he has this hologram of Tasha Yar because they were intimate once, and everyone is shocked.
Hesitantly. He doesn't want to admit that because she made him swear.
That's right. He promised not to speak of it. But Captain Picard's like, well, I don't think Tasha would mind in this case.
Given the circumstances.
Exactly. And he asks him, well, why did you take these medals? There's no logical reason to keep your medals. And Data's like, well, I just wanted them. So, and so basically it all pivots around whether or not Data has consciousness. A question that the captain judge lady, says is more suited to philosophers and saints. And she is neither, which I thought was nice. And she says, basically, and I thought it was interesting. Her ruling wasn't that Data is sentient, and it wasn't that he wasn't equipment. It was that he was free to make his own choice.
She uses the word soul.
She does use the word soul.
Which also, I find antiquated.
Yes. I thought it was kind of weird as well. That, yeah. And she said, well, I don't know if he has a soul. I don't know if I have a soul. But... you know, I guess basically I'm going to hedge my bets rule that you can't just do whatever you want with Data. So overall, I really like this episode, although I thought that one, the critical moment where she casts her decision was a little lacking because it wasn't very clearly one or the other. It was basically...
Well, it wasn't empirical. It was just based on, okay, after seeing all this, I feel like maybe he has a soul, maybe he doesn't. He gets to choose.
Exactly. We can't choose, so let's just assume he might. and so he's not. He's not equipment. Hooray, Data wins, I guess. And so basically she says he has the choice. So Data gets up and says to Maddox that I formally decline participating in your research. And Maddox is like, all right, I'll rescind the transfer orders. Data says, keep in touch. Because I think your research is interesting, and if you figure it out, I will still be here. So, you know, send me a Snapchat or something, and we'll get together again and see what we can do. And so, hooray. Oh, and this is the very... And then Data leaves, and the judge comes up to Maddox, and he says something like, he's amazing, or he's fascinating, or something like that. And she says, I note you didn't call Data it. And that's the last we see of Maddox, although he comes back in a later episode. And then the final scene is on the observation deck, Riker looking at the window pensively. Data comes in and says, hey, there's a celebration on the holodeck. You should join us. And Riker says, I have no place at your celebration, Data. And once again, kind of showing how Data doesn't really get stuff. Data says, oh, is it because you failed in your task and you're sad? And Riker's like, Data, no, I didn't want to win. although I came very close, and that was the problem. It's just that I felt bad that I almost cost you your life and your freedom. And Data said, well, if you hadn't agreed to go through with the trial, then I would have ended up not having a choice. So you really have saved me. And Riker's like, oh, all right. And so off they go to the holodeck. Friends forever.
Yeah. And
that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, I appreciated the ending. While the ruling might have been weak, I feel like the acting, especially by Riker, like his development right at the end where he feels horrible about having to take Data's arm off and turn him off.
Right, he says sorry as he's
he does right before he pulls his arm off.
Yep.
Or no, that's right before he switches him off entirely.
Turns him off. Yes.
Sorry about this. But yeah, like that kind of wrap up. It revealed both Data's capacity to understand and forgive. You know, based on facts, of course, but he forgives Riker and Riker. you know, kind of goes through that emotional moment of grief and resolution.
Yeah, I can't imagine having to do the same thing. I mean, Riker must have felt horrible the entire time because he had to try his hardest, but, you know, he was trying against someone he considers his friend and trying to prove that his friend was a toaster, basically. They call him a toaster in a Cylon reference, although it's not a Cylon reference in the show, but certainly later Battlestar Galactica's. And it must be very difficult for Riker to go through that. And luckily he loses, which is something that Riker generally doesn't want to do, but in this case he did want to do. And Picard wins.
And luckily he was pitted against Picard. If he had been forced to do that against some lawyer he didn't know, that would have been, because then he would have a serious chance of winning.
And he almost did win because his argument was quite compelling.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, taking off an arm, turning him off, these are things that you generally can't do. Although, then I was thinking, if I were, the lawyer that was tasked against Riker, I would have called Riker to the stand and then had my Vulcan friend come in and do the old neck pinch and knock him out and say, look, I turned Riker off.
I thought you were going to say, like, put a spike in the base of his spine. But,
or rip his arm off. It comes right off.
Goes both ways, man.
Exactly. You lose. Data, we could put Data's back on easily. And this was a good... I mean, Patrick Stewart is such a great actor. And Picard has a lot of good interplay and good moments of kind of coming to grips with, you know, his responsibilities to Starfleet and how he thinks, well, if there, you know, there's that moment where he thinks, well, if we had a bunch more Datas, that would be great because Data is a great asset to the ship. And then he realizes his wrongheadedness in thinking that way. And you really see that kind of happen. And then he's full bore into only one Data because he's, you know, we don't want to take him apart and lose him.
Or at least not more Datas at the risk of losing our one Data.
Exactly. And he has a choice. Like, I think the whole point of the episode really is not that Data shouldn't be taken apart and looked at, but that Data has the choice to say yes or no. And if Data was like, okay, I'll take the risks, then that's fine. But if Data has no choice whatsoever, that's not so cool.
Yeah. It's a crucial development point in the, not Data's personality itself, but the perception of Data by the crew.
Yes. And let's see, what else happens? Anything else that we should mention? Talked about Maddox being a jerk. Poker. Oh, I should mention I probably should have mentioned this at the beginning of this episode, but too bad. There is, on the second season Blu-rays of The Next Generation, they have a version of this episode that has 13 extra minutes because they had to cut out a lot of stuff. Because there's lots of dialogue when they first shot the episode. And so they saved all of that stuff and they put it back in. And as an extended episode, that is not the episode we're talking about. But as a point of how good this episode is, I watched it twice today. And I am thinking about pulling out my Blu-ray and watching the extended version after we finish, just because I am interested to see what those 13 minutes extra are.
I would be curious to see Act 3, Scene 18, which I'm reading, contains Data citing Shakespeare and saying, kill all the lawyers.
Yes. That would be interesting. So I have the Blu-ray. I could watch it. And apparently there's a fencing scene that got cut out. And Geordi gives Data a pipe, the Sherlock Holmes pipe, because they go to the holodeck and have these adventures together. And also, this is one thing I wanted to talk about very briefly. Data resigns his commission, and then, you know, he's going to go off and live as a citizen of the Federation of Planets, I guess. And that led me to think, what do people who aren't in Starfleet do in Starfleet? Like, what would Data do? There's no money. You don't need money anymore, so you don't have to work. So I guess he would just, I don't know, do some research or something. I don't know what he would do. Open up a sandwich shop? I don't know.
Become a smuggler.
Oh.
No, but there's no need for it.
That's right. You don't need to smuggle anything because nobody needs to buy anything. When you can turn energy into mass, into matter, a lot of problems go away.
Add to that you don't need to eat anything.
Yeah, Data doesn't need to eat anything. He doesn't need... He can do whatever he wants. I don't know what he would do. He could just sit quietly and wait for something to happen. And Brett, thank you for joining me on this episode of Random Trek.
Absolutely my pleasure.
Next on Random Trek, Voyager's Initiations.